Well, if you have your Bibles, find Philippians chapter 3. I don't know if it's me or not, but this suit makes me feel like I'm a big man in a little coat. I don't know if I ate too much over at Christmas or what, but I go to move my arms and things are moving that shouldn't be moving. I'm just saying. But Philippians chapter 3 is where we'll be at tonight. And it's exciting as we come to a end of a year, beginning of a new year. There's some excitement around that. But once you find your place in Philippians chapter 3, if you would stand with me to honor the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 down through verse 15 tonight. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you that your mercies are new every day. Lord, we thank you as we reflect upon 2021 and how good you have been to us. Lord, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, as we come to you at this end of 2021, looking into 2022, we pray that your blessings would be upon each and every person that is here tonight and those that couldn't be with us tonight. And just going forward, Lord, we pray that you would do greater things through the ministry here at Lighthouse, Lord. We pray that you would continue to see souls saved and that we would continue to see those that are saved, baptized, and discipled. And so, Lord, as we come to you tonight, we pray for anyone that may be here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night of salvation, and it would be a time of reflection of where we were at this year, and Lord, that we may repent of any areas we fell short, and also refocus for 2022. It's in your holy, precious Son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I was thinking about this tonight, and I was looking into it, and I think a new year, new you, 2022. Have you ever thought what it would be like to be able to look into the future and see what the new year would hold? Oftentimes, we see different TV shows or movies that project those sort of things. And I would say that it would be frightening in some regards, I think, to actually know what blessings were in store. Maybe not that aspect of it, but what if there was a hardship that was able to know that was going to come? And for some unknown reason, June 23rd, 2022, there was some terrible tragedy that would happen in your life, and you couldn't prevent it. For the months leading up to that, that's all you would think about. And then think about a great blessing, or maybe you come into the same day, June 23rd, 2022, there would be some great inheritance that you would receive, some amass amount of money that would come into your life. That would be all that would consume your life. That would be all that you could think of leading up to that moment. And I would say that it's probably best that we do not know the future, but to know the one who holds the future. Amen. And so as I look into this new year and I think about sometimes these events that can be good, they can also be bad. And as Brother Tom and I were out doing new move-in visits, we met a young man who in the past year, he had the birth of his child. We knock on the door, he comes to the door, he's holding this cute little baby and it's just a precious little thing. Get to sharing with him, his name is Ethan. And Ethan's holding his daughter and we're like, oh, that's a precious little child. And what's her name? He told us her name, and we begin to talk to him and ask him, you know, how his wife was doing. His wife died during childbirth. And so you think about those things, those events, those moments. A great moment could turn into a tragic moment in a blink of an eye. And so here we stand at the gate of a new year. We have no idea what will happen to us in 2022. But I do know who is still in control and seated on the throne. Therefore, regardless of what happens, we are to keep our focus upon Jesus throughout this year that's to come. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." And those should be comforting words to us here tonight in a world that we live in that is ever-changing, that is chaotic. When we look across the landscape of 2021, our God is still in control. And we should be focused upon Him. And so as I think of this key text tonight of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 down to 15, Paul starts talking about a prize, running a race, and there's a prize to win at the end of this race. Paul talks about forgetting the past, and I know that we cannot forget the past, nor should we forget the past, but I would encourage us not to live in the past. Many of you who drove here tonight didn't drive down the road looking out your rearview mirror. If you did, that's a foolish thing to do, right? You're to be looking forward. And so that is the goal and where we should be looking, and our goal should be looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And although I believe we should have an honest reflection, though, I would say we should have an honest reflection of this past year before we move into a new year, which brings me to my first point tonight. We need to, first off, reflect. We need to reflect upon 2021. The first thing we must do is come, as we come to the end of 2021, is to give an honest reflection of this past year. And we see in the main text tonight in verse 12, Paul does the same thing. He says in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So some background into the book of Philippians, there's a group called the Judaizers, and they were teaching a false doctrine of perfection and that you could attain perfection. And here we have Paul, the greatest apostle. He is saying he is yet not attained. He is not perfect. He has not arrived. And so Paul had an awareness and expressed it in these words, "not as though." Paul knew. Paul reflected. And he said, "not as though." So Paul had not yet attained the prize he pursued. He had not yet become perfect. And that this perfect word that we see here in the Greek is a word meaning to attain or to have perfection or to reach a goal or to accomplish. And so he's saying, hey, I have not made it yet. And so despite the rich blessings that he had already received in Christ Jesus by being saved, he had the rich assurance of heaven being his home. He too yet said his knowledge of Christ was still incomplete. And that should be refreshing for us here tonight. Christ's righteousness had been imputed to him, yet he still had to cleanse himself from all the defilement of his flesh. And we too must do that daily. This should be encouraging to us that if the Apostle Paul struggled with this, we too will struggle with our flesh. It doesn't give us a reason to be complacent or to fall into sin. However, it should help us get a proper perspective, I would say. That none of us have arrived and none of us are perfect, myself included. The chief of the apostles does not feel that he had arrived spiritually, and neither should we. As we reflect upon 2021, I would say this. What were some of the mistakes we made in 2021 that we don't want to repeat? Some sins of commission. Perhaps an angry word spoken to a spouse or a friend. An attitude towards a parent. Teens, listen. Don't have an attitude towards your parents. They love you. They care for you. You may not always understand what they're doing, but they love you and they care for you. You have a church that loves and cares for you, and you have a pastor that loves and cares for you, and leadership here that loves and cares for you. So please make sure your attitudes are reflecting, you're reflecting upon your attitudes as we close this year. Maybe some sins of omission. It's not always sins that we commit, but maybe it's sins we omit. Maybe it's a lack of gospel witness. Maybe we haven't shared the gospel this year. Maybe perhaps it's a lack of prayer in our prayer life. Maybe it's a lack of Bible reading and studying the scriptures daily. And so as we focus in on this, as we reflect upon 2021, obviously, pursuing the prize of Christ's likeness begins with the dissatisfaction of where we are at. We shouldn't become complacent with where we are. We should be pressing towards the mark, as Paul said here. Those who feel they have arrived will not see the need to pursue a better spiritual condition. Think about that. If you don't know that you need to get better, are you going to improve upon that? In most areas of our lives, we have different goals, and I know some of the teens play sports, and they can tell me their stats, and they can tell me the different things that they do. But do we, and their grades at school, how they're doing in school, but do we check up with them on how they're doing spiritually? Do we check on our own selves to see how we're doing spiritually? Are we doing a diagnostic on ourselves? And so complacent and contented people are in grave danger, I would tell you, of becoming insensitive to their sin and blind to their weaknesses. Again, it'll be insensitive to their sin and blind to their weaknesses. It is only those who are aware of their desperate spiritual need who come to Christ in the first place for salvation. And it's only the humble heart that realizes that they are not where they need to be. But thank God they are not who they used to be. Amen? And so I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and Paul says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And my most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so as I think about that, Paul said that in his weakness, that's when God worked the most. When you have a prideful heart, you don't allow God to work in your life. He cannot, because you're unteachable. And so we have to check that out and as we reflect upon this past year. As you reflect upon your own life, do you see changes that you want to make in the new year? As you reflect upon 2021, I know there's things in my life that I want to change that weren't exactly where I wanted them to be in 2021. And that's not just the physical things, it's the spiritual things as well. And so what I want to focus in is on the spiritual things. What are some things that need to change this year in 2022 that's coming up? As you reflect upon maybe some spiritual areas, perhaps Bible reading, prayer, witnessing, scripture memorization, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When the doors are open, we should try to make all efforts to be here. Physical areas of our life, proper sleep, nutrition, exercise. Are there areas in that we missed the mark? Some people are into making New Year's resolutions, and I say that's okay, whatever, that's up to them, but it's okay only if you intend to keep them. Many people start out well, many people start running the race well, but they don't finish well. And it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And so it's always good to look at areas that need improvement. Every year, previous to coming on staff here at the church, in my previous profession, we had year-end reviews, and it was like, hey, this is where you're at, this is where you need to be at, and different things, and it wasn't, hey, they're going to beat you over the head with it, but it's an honest evaluation. Hey, here's some strengths, here's some weaknesses, let's focus in on it, let's keep the strengths where they are, let's try to improve on the weaknesses. And I would say, how else can we improve unless we give an honest reflection of where we're at? I would say on the positive side, what did you do right this past year? Perhaps Bible reading. Maybe you read the entire Bible this year. Maybe you did the whole New Testament. You did the D groups, the journaling. You did fantastic in those areas. Perhaps maybe your prayer life was through the roof. Perhaps maybe you witnessed every opportunity you had. Perhaps maybe you memorized scripture like you never did this in the years past. Listen, friends, we need to emphasize, like I said earlier, the positives and repeat them. And we need to eliminate the negatives and redirect our focuses to have better results in 2022. Which brings me to my second point tonight, repentance. Not only are we to give an honest reflection, but secondly, we need to have repentance. And what I mean by that is we need to repent of the sins that we have committed, whether they are sins of omission or sins of commission. True repentance is a change of the mind that leads to a change of actions. You know, there's a lot of people that may feel sorry for the moment they get caught this is going back to early childhood days, but my mom would catch me doing something I shouldn't be doing, right? And you're like, oh, hand in the cookie jar, shouldn't have been there. That was way worse than that for me, though. But just a sinner, right? Just like the rest of you. But I got caught. I was sorry in the moment that I got caught. I didn't have a true repentance and change of my ways. In that moment, I was sad or wanting to change just to get mom off my back. But it's a totally different thing when it's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And so it's more than a change of mind, it's a change of the will and actions, I would say. It's a change of the will and actions. We must forge or beat our flesh into submission, and that is what it means to have a change that affects our will. Paul even said the following of his flesh. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, Hey, if the Apostle Paul had to beat his body into subjection, do you think we will as well? Absolutely, we should. On a daily basis, we must will ourselves, I would say, to pray and read the Bible every day. Sometimes it's a joy, and it's easy to get in the Word of God and read it. If we're being honest, some days it is a struggle. We have to fight and will ourselves into it sometimes. To pray like we should, we have to fight and will and struggle ourselves into that. Sometimes there are things that are more appealing. I tell our teens all the time, there's things that are more appealing that they could get into, but they have to fight and fight for their faith. They need to contend for the faith. They need to get in the Word. They need to pray daily. And so as we think of these things, we must will ourselves to pray and read and study God's Word daily. Paul uses the Greek verb here, which literally means to strike under the eye. And it was neat when I was looking this up. The Greek word is basically a description of an uppercut that a boxer would use in a boxing match. So you think about that uppercut in a boxing match. To strike in this manner was generally considered to be a knockout punch to the Greek boxers of their day. And so when Paul's saying this, it's literally a blacking and bluing of the faith, or of the face, I should say. That you're subjecting your body to the Scriptures. You're subjecting your body to the will of the Scriptures and reading and praying like you should. This verb is a present tense, which speaks that it is to be continual. You're to continue to do this daily. Now, Paul's continual practice, which clearly implies a continual need, and we also need to continually subject our body into submission. But you say, why? Why do we got to do that daily, Braden? Why is that? And I would say Peter alerts us of the fact in our innate homegrown fleshly lust. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstaining from fleshly lust, that which war against the soul." Imagine you're fighting your opponent. You're in a boxing match. Round one is done. You come out round two, and you let your guard down, and this boxer has brass knuckles. You're done. You're knocked out, right? You're just gone. And that's what it appears to us when we let our guard down. We have an enemy who seeks to seek and kill and destroy, the Bible tells us. He wants to sift us like wheat, Jesus told Peter. And so when I think of these things, we need to have our guard up. Friends, this is exactly what happens. We let our guard down in our fight against the flesh. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's a daily decision. It's a daily decision on what we're going to feed. Are we going to feed the flesh? Are we going to feed the spirit? This is not optional. It is clear to me that the clear biblical command is to do this now, to do it effectively, and don't delay. And just a thought as I was thinking about this, Paul's not going to force us to discipline our bodies. Neither is Jesus going to force us to discipline our bodies into subjection. It's a daily choice. We have been given free will. That it's our prerogative, our self-imposed choice, the decisions of our will, that we must do this daily. So will I follow Jesus today, or will I take a break and glorify and gratify my flesh? Is the question that confronts us all today and every morning. Remember, the mortal enemies of us are the world, the flesh, the devil. They never take a day off. They never back down. They never call for a truce. It's a war that we're waging. And we're to seek after that every day, pick up our cross daily, and die to ourselves. And as we close out this section on repentance, I'd like to draw some attention to the five R's of repentance that I've called it, the five R's of repentance. The first one is recognition. We must recognize, first off, or realize that sin, that we have sin, and confess it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 9 goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And second one is to regret. Now, this is, or I would say, conviction of our sins. And this lets us know that the Holy Spirit is working inside of us. Not only is it one thing to recognize the sin, but then we should have the Holy Spirit working inside of us that allows us to have that recognition and then regret of that sin. The third thing is relinquishing of the sins. This includes confession, I would say. We have to relinquish the sins after we confess it. Sometimes what happens as Christians is we drag that cart of trash behind us, right? That big old trailer full of luggage, that's baggage that we don't need. Because God tells us in His Word, in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Once we've confessed it, He's moved on. Micah 7:19 says, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Friends, He doesn't recall our sins. He doesn't keep a running tally like I did to my sisters when they were younger, and like, hey, you did this, you did this, you did this, holding it over their heads. God doesn't do that to us. Once we've repented of it, He's moved on. He's forgiven us. This reminds me of Job as well. As we reflect and we look at repentance, I think sometimes we need to then bring about resolve or a resolution to commit the same thing, not to commit the same thing again. In Job 31, verse 1, Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? See, Job made a covenant. He wasn't going to go back to his old ways. And I think sometimes we need to do the same things. We need to make a covenant with the Lord that I will not do that. And a good place to start, I believe, is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. I think that's pretty specific there. Let it not once be named among us. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And so tonight, I would ask, what are the areas of our lives that we need to repent, that we need to relinquish, to get restored, and give resolve and resolution to? I'll say that again. What areas of our lives tonight do we need to repent, relinquish, get resolved, and give resolution to as we head into the new year of 2022? And tonight, I would say, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the only resolution you can make is to resolve to call upon the name of the Lord and have the new birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we think about this, not only do we reflect and repent, but thirdly, we need to have a refocus. As we head into the new year, we need to have a refocus, a renewal of our minds. And as we look to the new year, we look back at the old year, and maybe we miss some areas, but we want to refocus on the important things. As that's what we want to close out with tonight. Renewal and refocus follows repentance. Awareness of the needs is not enough. So we can look at the past year and we say, hey, we missed the mark here, and that's a good idea to have an awareness. But it's another thing to actually put an action plan in place to improve, to move from that to the other spot. And that's the purpose here, is that we're to move on. We're to press forward, as Paul says in this text tonight. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the end of that verse there, it says, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so the Greek verb here, dioko, and sometimes I should just pass on that, but basically means to follow after. It means to move quickly or energetically towards some object, and thus literally pictures vigorous activity. And so the thing, as I was thinking about this, this verb, and Tom and I, again, we're out doing visits one day, a new move-in, and so vigorous to get out of the car, I come walking around the car real fast. It's raining cats and dogs, and this stinking neighborhood over here, I'm making a fool of myself. The street wasn't paved all the way up to the curb yet, and I had dress shoes on, similar like I have today, and I come around the car real quick, and I hit that lip of that thing, and I about face-planted. I mean, had I not had any athleticism at all, it would have been on the ground, bloodied face. It would have been a mess. Tom would have had to done the visit. I would have just sat there weeping in the rain. but it's a vigorous activity, is the description here as we look at this tonight. It's a quick, it's energetic. It's obviously literally pictures of vigorous activity that we're pressing towards this mark. Paul figuratively uses emphasis as the necessity for each of us to vigorously, uncompromisingly, continually, as the habit of our life, to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That's our goal. Paul was running spiritually to catch the very thing for which Jesus Christ had come after him. In other words, Paul's goal in life was consistent, with Christ's goal in saving him. And you may ask, what was Christ's goal in saving Paul, or what's Christ's goal in saving us? And I would tell you tonight, the answer is in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, here it is, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's our goal. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. As we're walking through this Christian faith, this Christian walk, our old things are passing away. Behold, all things become new. And so as we're looking here, this is the goal is that, hey, we're a progressive sanctification. We're not who we once were, but we are definitely moving in the right direction that we should be going in. And so the purpose was to make him like Jesus Christ. That was the purpose for which God saves us and is also the purpose for which we are to live, is to be conformed like Christ, into the image of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 tells us, wherefore he called you by your gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a lifelong pursuit of Christ's likeness, I would tell you. It requires diligent and focused concentration. So as we look at this, we were talking about this in a staff meeting the other day. A person that goes out and tries to run a marathon, they just don't go out and run a marathon, right? They start off with a few jogs here, a few jogs there, maybe a 5K. They just don't jump into the marathon. And our Christian walk, our Christian race is just like that. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong process. Again, it's not how we start, but how we finish the race. And so a maximum effort without focus, I would tell you, is basically concentration is useless. The maximum effort without focus, concentration is useless. I have a video that my brother-in-law showed me of my nephews. They got this drift bike, and they get on this thing. If you've not seen one, it's totally cool. But it has like these PVC tires, and they get on there, and they just like, wah, wah, and they're just flooring it. But they don't go anywhere because they're just gassing it at the beginning, and all the tires do is just spin. And that's the picture here is that of this maximum effort without a focused concentration is useless. We have to have the right focus to be going in the right direction, or basically we're spinning our wheels. Paul demonstrated where our focus should be in verse 13. He tells us, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we need to not totally forget the past, like I said earlier, but we're not to live in the past. Paul had a discontentment with his spiritual walk that motivated him to pursue Christ's likeness even more. And so as we reflect on 2021, where are some areas that we are discontented with our spiritual walk? What are some areas of our Christian faith, of our spiritual daily walk that we need to improve upon in 2022? Is it Bible reading? Is it prayer? Is it witnessing? We need to honestly evaluate these things. Friends, if Paul had this mindset and focus, should not we have the same thing going into 2022? Paul's focus was on his goal, was absolute, and his level of concentration was laser focused. He was precise. He wasn't just shooting the shotgun out there. He was laser focused into what his goals were, and that was pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. It is such a singularly focused people who succeed, I would say, in athletics and other pursuits of life. Having that single focus, knowing your purpose and what you're supposed to be doing, allows you to focus on the goal and where you need to be going with it. You may have heard it said, many people dabble in much, but succeed at nothing. Many people dabble in much, but succeed at nothing. And I would tell us tonight, as we're sitting here, our greatest fear should not be of failure. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. That should be our greatest fear, of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. I have a lot of stupid trophies, a lot of different things that don't matter. There's only one thing that matters, and that's what I'm doing for Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as I look at this, despite all the energy they expend, these people that have the wrong focus, they accomplish little, or they're many focuses, they accomplish little. Their lives are full of sound and fury, signifying a bunch of busyness. And if we're not careful as Christians, we too can get busybodies. And so you think about this as we look into the new year, are there some things that we need to lay aside that took our focus off of Christ, that took our focus off the things of God? James called these people double-minded. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And to avoid a lack of focus, I would tell us we should pray like the psalmist did in Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. May that be our prayer, to unite us as one with God. Teach us thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truths. And so when we have one goal in mind, moving it forward into 2022, which is to be Christ-like, we are focused on the prize of the high calling of God, I would tell us tonight. Paul says in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. And as a runner that looks behind them constantly is losing ground. They're going to lose the race. If they're constantly turning back to see, they're losing the forward momentum that they're supposed to be doing, just like a football player. He's running down the field with the football. He's trying to score a touchdown. He's not looking back to see if the guy's coming after him. A lot of times you'll see now they're looking up at the scoreboard to see in the rear view because they don't want to lose any momentum. They're not breaking stride. They're just focused, laser focused, straight ahead. And that's what it is with our walk with the Lord. It needs to be focused on Him. Neither does a runner's performance in past races determine the results of future races. So what we've done for Christ in the past doesn't determine what we will do in the future. It's only what we do here and now. You can't take the things that God has done for us in the past as a church or as an individual and rely upon the past. We have to rely upon Him daily. I think of the Lord's Prayer, and He says, teach us this day, give us this day our daily bread. I think a lot of times in America, we want the whole thing. We don't want to rely upon the Lord. And it goes back to the opening illustration. I think sometimes we don't have that ability to see the future because we wouldn't rely upon the Lord. We would count on ourselves because we knew that. We would work some way in our own ways, trying like the Tower of Babel to build our way to heaven to result so we didn't get flooded again, right? And so Paul made a break with everything in his past, good, bad, or indifferent. Good deeds, ministry, success, as well as sins and missed opportunities. And I would say that these things that are in the past, they do not control the present or the future. They don't control the present or the future. And so sometimes we try to define ourselves by what we've done in the past or what's happened to us in the past. Let me tell you, if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your past does not matter in a lot of ways. Your past sins, I should say. Those are forgiven. You need to let those things go and learn from them. Move forward. Let them be teaching moments to others. Listen, friends, we cannot live on past victories, nor should we allow past failures to debilitate us for future success and spiritual growth. God is interested in what you do and I do, not in the past, but what we do now and in the future. I believe Jesus gives us a clear picture of this in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. He says, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And as we're unpacking this verse here, Jesus warns that excessive concern for family ties and looking back and past mistakes, past failures, looking back will make the kingdom a less priority. That's what happened in these three parables here. People were continuing to look back. They're wanting to go back to their old ways. And he said, any man that's put his hand to the plow and looking back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. The image is graphic. Who can plow straight ahead looking back? I can't even ride a bicycle looking back. Like that's I'm probably one of the worst drivers. Sadie told me that one day, coming home from the Bible study. She's like, you're the worst driver. And Tom said, have you ever rode with your dad? No. But he said, yeah. Amen. The image is graphic, though. You think about that. If you're looking back, you can't go straight forward. And that is the prize and the goal, is to press forward. And if I'm continually looking back, I cannot press forward to the high calling in Christ Jesus. And discipleship, I would say, cannot be double-minded. How can we disciple others if we're constantly looking back? We've got to be pressing forward. The verb for reaching forward implies a description of stretching the muscle to its limits. Anybody ever pulled a muscle? So the older I get, the easier it is, it seems like. I wake up and I pulled a neck muscle or something. I don't know. It's just getting old and things breaking down. And there was somebody in the office the other day said, wait till you get a little older. I'm like, oh, okay, I get to look forward to that. But it's this literally stretching the muscle to its limits. It's a picture of a runner straining every muscle to reach the finish line, is what Paul's given us here as imagery. The question tonight is, are we doing this? Are we straining, or are we content to remain where we are? Are we pressing? Are we straining forward? Are we giving it all that we can for Christ? Or are we content with where we are and being complacent and stagnant? Leonard Ravenhill said, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. I'll say it again, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. And my prayer for the new year is that we would see a revival, even in our teen group, even amongst our church. And we have a fantastic ministry. I'm not trying to put it down or anything, but there's greater things to be done. There's people to be witnessed to. There's souls to be saved. And obviously, God gives that. God does the saving. But we need people to go to tell. We need laborers to go forth. He said in Matthew 9:38, pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest fields. And so, as we think about this, pursuing Christ's likeness here and now and into the new year and beyond until we are made like him in glory defines the progress of the Christian life and the target of ministry. Staying focused on the prize gives us proper motivation for the new year and beyond. And so sometimes as, you know, 2020 happened and a lot of the races got canceled, different things that I looked forward to, it's hard sometimes just to go out there and continue training, to continue doing what you're supposed to be doing day in and day out. But when the prize, that carrot's dangled out in front of you, we go after it, don't we? Not just in a race, but even in our workplaces sometimes. Hey, I'll give you, what the boss said, hey, I'll give you $100 if you show up early tomorrow. We'd be there. And don't be too proud to say you wouldn't. We let the carrots dangled out there, we go after it. And that's the prize. The prize for us is Christ Jesus. He is the prize. He is what we're racing towards. Staying focused on the prize gives us a proper motivation. Like I said, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark of the for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This pressing towards, I press towards, is a present active or a continuation. It would be like saying, I am pressing towards. It's a continual thing that we're to do. It's not a once and done. It's to continue to do it daily. The prize is what should motivate us to run to win. Any runner that runs a race, any athlete that is competing, national championships right around the corner, they are competing for that. And when they fall short of that, once they have a standard, like that team up north, they're just happy to make the playoffs, right? Our standard is national championship. There's a different standard. And our standard as Christians is Jesus Christ, which is the utmost standard. And that's what we're pressing towards. And so as we look at it, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. So everybody's in the race. They're running. Everybody's running. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain that prize. So run that you may obtain. So we are to continue to strive to run our race until it is finished. When the Lord calls us home, and in that day we will be like the Apostle Paul, and we can say this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. When we get to the end of our lives, are we going to be able to say that? That I have finished my race, that I have fought the good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Or are we going to say, hey, in 2022, we got off track? Hey, in 2021, I got off track. Never got back on the racetrack. And I know that's everybody's desire. Everybody's heart's desires to finish their race. So as we conclude tonight, in closing, how did 2021 go for you spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally? They're all intertwined. Did you leave missed opportunities to grow spiritually? How will 2022 be different for you than 2021? I believe it begins with SMART goals. And when I say SMART goals, there's five things to that. It's specific. You have to have specific goals. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be able to be measured. A, it needs to be attainable. You have to set attainable goals. You can't set unrealistic goals. You'll never achieve them. So I'm going to go out and bench 500 pounds tomorrow. I'm not doing that, right? There's some guys in this church that probably could do that, but this guy is not one of them. Now, I could go out and probably outrun those guys. No, just kidding. But it needs to be attainable, right? It needs to be results-focused. We need to have results-focused to it. And T, it needs to be time-specific. You know, I believe that as Christians, we need to set aside a time for the Lord every morning. You may say, I'm not a morning person. Don't go out the door without reading your Bible and praying, because it's just going to set your day in the wrong direction. So it needs to be SMART, measurable, attainable, results-focused, time-specific. And as we think about those, I challenge you and myself tonight, before we leave here, to reflect, to repent, and to refocus or renew our commitment to the Lord. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, there's no better way to end 2021 than the new birth, to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and to start off a new year as a new being. If you're here tonight and you're born again, it's time to reflect and renew your commitments to Bible reading, to prayer, scripture memorization, several other things. Discipleship. Are you discipling someone? If you're not, why not? And so if you would tonight, as we close out, if you would stand with me. We have a time of reflection and time to come and maybe repent of some things. Maybe some commitments to be made to the Lord this evening. This is a perfect time to do it. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there'll be people down front that would love to show you how you can be born again, how you can be saved and have a right standing with the Lord and have an eternal home in heaven. If you would bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just lift your hand as a testimony of that you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I see those hands all around. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Braden, I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I don't know that heaven would be my home. I don't know that I've ever called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If that's you tonight, would you just give an uplifted hand? I don't want to call anybody out. I'd pray for you. Anyone? Any hand up that may not know the Lord as their Savior? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Braden, I need to renew some things. I need to renew some commitments. I need to repent of some sins. If that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift up your hand that, hey, I have some things I'm dealing with. I see those hands. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for your word and the truth that is in it. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that sanctifies us daily. And Lord, as we focus in on the closing of a year and the beginning of a new one, Lord, we pray that we would see greater spiritual fruit in our lives. Lord, that we would set aside time for you, that we would lay the things of this world down, that this world would grow strangely dim. Father, we pray that you would have your way with this invitation. You would deal with the hearts of your people. It's in your holy, precious Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.